I'm Bill Littlefield. The Olympics are officially underway in Rio, and to everybody's great surprise, the sky has not fallen into the sea, even though lots of other things have. That's where we'll begin this week's three stories you should know. Joining me this time around are the Boston Globe's Shira Springer and Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports, both via Skype. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Shira, as you are in Rio right now, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start with some of the sky is falling aspects. It's become something of an Olympic sport, I think, to predict impending doom prior to the Olympic Games. And, of course, Brazil has offered a doom predictor's paradise of sorts. We know Zika and polluted waters and violent street crime, traffic jams that stretch across the city. I've been in a few of those. Unfinished venues, I've seen a few of those. And, of course, a country in economic free fall and all of the political corruption around and about. But I'm in Rio now, about 2 miles from the Olympic Park, and I've gone running and haven't been attacked by mosquitoes, walked around at night, and actually felt pretty safe. The sky really isn't falling here in Brazil, despite alarming reports. And I understand people have to report honestly and aggressively, but I wonder if this is all fair to the host country, which I can see every time I go out trying mightily to get the games right.
Our instinct is to look for problems. Problems are news. You know, everything works fine. The trains are running on time. Isn't really news. So that's part of it. This sounds a lot like the last Olympics I went to, which was the Athens Games back in 2004. And I think in some ways, when we pay so much attention to the problems going in, we tend to ignore what I think is actually the real issue of these Olympics, which is all the problems that come out of them, and specifically just the huge amount of money that's spent, money that could have been spent on all this sort of social problems that don't go away once the rest of us leave that city.
I share your concern, but I worry that there has been so much different bad news about these Olympics that it's not all going to blow away like clouds on a nice blue sky day. Shira, I hope you'll keep us informed about the entire package as the games go on.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Bill, you're right to worry, and I don't want to give the wrong impression. As much as you want to root for the sports aspect to take over to some degree, I don't think in these particular games some of the other concerns are going to fade away as much as they have in previous games.
In the interest of focusing on a sport at the Olympics, I want to turn our attention to a particular competition in Rio. I am rooting for the Brazilian men's soccer team to win gold, and they're not off to a great start. They had to settle for a draw in their first game. But in the semifinal of the 2014 World Cup, held right there in Brazil, the home team lost 7-1 to Germany. The score has become a kind of shorthand for failure. Grant Wall, writing for Sports Illustrated, said that when Brazil's president Dilma Rousseff was impeached, the paper said she, quote, took a 7-1. After all the bad news leading up to these Olympics, Brazil really needs a win, and no win would be more significant to them than a gold medal in soccer, which, incidentally, for all their 5 World Cups, the Brazilian men have never won. The celebration would be nationwide. It would be great. And maybe nobody needs a nationwide celebration any more than Brazil does right now. Patrick, what do you think?
I mean, look, I'm all for it. I mean, the fact that Brazil is stumbling in men's soccer, to me, in some ways, it makes me think, again, going back to the time I was in Athens, it makes me think of the United States men's basketball team in 2004, like the disgraceful team that only won the bronze medal and was like just surrounded, like, you know, every sin of American basketball was brought out to the light. And I have to imagine at some level it's the same sort of feeling in Brazil. But I'm with you, Bill. Like, I'd like to see it. And I think you always want to see the host country enjoy some success in the games, especially when it's their national sport. Let them have something.
I will root for Marta and the Brazilian women in the women's tournament. But I'm sorry, I cannot get off the Nigeria bandwagon at this point. This is a team that got stranded in Atlanta for a variety of reasons, including the fact that their national federation booked a plane that was too small, and there may or may not have been an unpaid bill in there. Nigeria arrived hours before its opening match against Japan, and they won. They beat Japan 5-4. So I'm sorry, you have got to root for Nigeria.
Patrick, it's time for your story. I know because I read your stuff. You've been thinking about the war on performance-enhancing drugs lately, which, gee whiz, may be another Olympic issue.
Right. So, my story this week is for one of my favorite and most chronically unappreciated writers, who that would be me. It's called The Drugs Won, The Case for Ending the Sports War on Doping. Now, before you say it's crazy or morally wrong or that we're going to end up like the old Saturday Night Live all-drug Olympic skit where Kevin Nealon's arms explode in blood, we test and we police and we're failing. We're failing miserably. We do an awful job of catching athletes who are trying to cheat. So while we're not deterring use, we're not catching users, but what we are doing, and this is the case with every drug prohibition, we push stuff underground. And what happens when you do that? You create a climate for corruption and extortion. The stuff you see going on in Russia right now. Arguably as well, this prohibition is making athletes less safe because the ones who are going to use, you're being steered toward these sketchy underground chemists as well as risky experimental drugs that are harder to detect. And there's a lot of people are saying, hold on, slow down, let's stop, let's rethink, and let's manage this issue the way we manage medicine. Look, most of these drugs are first and foremost medicines. They all have potentially bad side effects. They can be abused, but they also could be used and used safely or relatively safely under responsible medical supervision. So let's do that.
Patrick had me sort of until he started to talk about how we should use this the way we use other medicines. Because I think once you get into that and you have athletes sort of medicating themselves with these performance-enhancing drugs, you have even more sort of inequality in the playing field because you have some athletes who are going to have access to the latest science and technology and medical services, so to speak, and some from the less well-off, less organized countries who won't. But I do think that the entire anti-doping movement has to be reevaluated, and we have to really look more closely at how we police performance-enhancing drug use at all levels of sport. And I think the main problem, and this has been said over and over by sports leaders, is you have people in policing the sport who are also in charge of promoting the sport. So I think before we sort of give up entirely, declare victory and move on, I think in the words of Doug Logan, that you quoted in your article, Patrick, I think we need to first really seriously make an attempt at a third party being involved in the policing of drug use in sport.
What it boils down to for me is whether the drug testers and the people who decide the penalties for the people who get caught are doing more harm than good and creating more hypocrisy than they are honesty. And that is an ongoing question that I suppose we'll continue to explore. Patrick, you want to wrap this up for us?
The whole idea behind this change in the drug policy would be to reduce harm. It would be to make things better, but it certainly would not make things perfect. It's something where the genie's out of the box, and the genie's only getting bigger, by the way. We're not that far, probably, from gene doping, which essentially is going to be unpoliceable.
Oh, yes, I think you're right.
And once that happens, we're going to have to rethink this.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been the Boston Globe's Shira Springer and Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports. Thank you both.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.